Hi, this is Christoph Kemper from Link Research Tools in my Link Building and SEO podcast, and I got another amazing guest, a long-term veteran in the industry. His name is Bill Hartzer. Bill, who are you? What is your background and history, and what does your company do?
Well, right now I'm actually I guess I could say an SEO consultant, domain name consultant. I started back in the mid 1990s, building, you know, some affiliate websites and some just local websites. You know, I had a job as a technical writer and webmaster for a telecom company. And, that, you know, I did that for a few years and in-house SEO. And then I moved, to the sort of the agency side, if you will, you know, doing SEO and link building and content for clients. Been in several different agencies and then, ran an agency for a while. And then I have moved out on my own now, with my, you know, doing, everything from link audits to SEO audits to, doing research in the domain name industry.
Is that Globrunner SEO your company?
Actually, that was one of the agencies that I recently left, and so now really I am 100% at BillHartzer.com and you know, completely at my own. So yes, I did work for Globrunner and Advice Interactive and Vision Interactive and Standing Dog Interactive, or a couple of different agencies. Mm-hmm. And yes, but right now I'm actually doing everything, you know, doing it all for myself.
Got it. But you were the guy who hired Matt Katz for one day on April 1st.
Yes, we did.
2 or 3 years ago. I remember that, Frank. That was fun. And so when you're in a domain consultant or a domain expert, what about, you know, these new extensions, the .club, the .agency, the .consulting, that I don't know how many of those extensions are around by now, and there's even an opportunity for companies to buy their own brand name as extension, right? And how do they work it for SEO? Does it make sense to register my brand name .5000 extensions?
Sure. You know, it started actually, originally we started seeing these new domain extensions back around 2013 and 2014. And ICANN released, they had an opportunity. They released several different, close to a thousand different new TLD domains. And back then, there was an application process, and, you know, close to $200,000, $185,000 US to apply for a TLD. And we had, you know, really a lot of companies who applied back then, and they have been slowly rolling out since 2013 and 2014, the latest one that I, you know, was pretty significant was .art, and that launched I believe last week. And so there's two different things. There's, you know, there are companies who have been created, like Donuts and Rightside, to basically they are the registries, and they own a lot of different TLDs, a lot of endings. You know, .attorney, .lawyer, .legal, .marketing, .agency. And, their business model is to basically sell domains. The other option, you know, opportunity, which, is now, it's actually, you know, closed. There's not, a way to get your own brand, but, there were about 800 different companies, brands, like Amazon and Amazon, Google, and Nike, and a lot, you know, a lot of different, main, you know, Canon and so forth, that got their own endings. And so, We do have, you know, some of them that are being used now, like, you know, Canon, which is C-A-N-O-N, which is the, you know, we know it as the, you know, digital photography, you know, photography company. They, you know, their main website worldwide is canon.global or global.canon.
Global.canon.
And so, yes. And so there's, you know, there are slowly, the brands have been hesitating to launch their sites. But they are, you know, slowly moving, over to their own domains. And, the benefit is, you know, when you own, if you're Apple and you own .apple and, you know, you are the only one who can allow domains to be registered on on .apple, and so, you know, there's a lot more, there can be a lot more trust eventually in the, you know, the community, you know, the public, if they are in a .apple domain or website, you know, they can trust that it really is Apple. So this is all, a lot of this is still happening. We do have, you know, FTLD, which is a registry that owns .insurance and .bank. And those are closed TLDs, meaning that that you have to be a bank in order to have a .bank domain name. And so like .edu or .mil, you have to, you know, you have to be a military organization, or you have to be part of the, you know, a university to have a .edu domain. And so that's that has been the real question is whether or not, you know, whether or not, you know, how much trust the, you know, the search engines put in a .edu or .mil or .gov, you know, a .gov, you know, domain name. And that's, you know, that's still being debated today over that, over so many years.
Yeah, I think Google went, you know, in some of their statements over all these years, they kept saying the specific TLD we do not have an advantage on. But, you know, on the other hand, when you say there is a TLD that can only be used by banks, it would make a lot of sense actually to give all the banks a little bit more trust, just to, you know, have them stand out. I mean, from a search engine perspective that has exceptions, that has 20,000 quality raters, that needs human signals anyways, like user behavior, like linking has always been a user signal, so to say, from people actually creating links and content, it would make sense. But you don't have any data or any experience on that yet for
not Google, you know, not any more data. You know, the FTLD is really does, you know, is closed, and I have been in conversations you know, with them at different conferences and so forth, and with the leaders, and they really are pushing to get, you know, to get Google and you know, and Bing and this, you know, the other search engines out there to trust that it is really is a closed TLD, and that really is a, it is a bank if they are using a dot bank. And mostly those, you know, we mostly what's I see happening is the smaller banks, the smaller, you know, and you know, smaller local banks, not, you know, not, will use the dot bank, and we will end up seeing, Chase and there are a few others that have their own TLD, and so they will be using, you know, dot Chase and dot you know, Bank of America, probably dot BOFA, and so forth in the U.S.
Which, on the other hand, you know, is so big that a .js maybe is another exception, but especially the smaller banks might then have a benefit because they have the smaller link profile, the smaller brand name, less popular, but could still, you know, play in that more reputable role if someone goes on file to say, well, this is something that we trust because of this and this process, right?
Yes.
Okay, but this hasn't happened yet, and you haven't heard it.
There are some banks out there that are using, that are live, that are using the .bank, for example. There's about 5,000 domains that are being used.
Oh, wow. Are you saying 5,000 .banks are used already?
Yes, about 5,000 banks have bought the domains, and they are continuing to, you know, some of them have moved.
That's fun, because there are a lot of banks that have bank in the name. So even in Austria or in German, something like Erste Bank or Bawag Bank, they could actually have an even better name with that, or even shorter with that .bank in the extension. It makes sense to me.
Well, that's the real big question is that there's a lot of, for example, a lot of web hosting that are using, you know, that you that end in host, and there's a lot of websites that end in online. And the real question is, if you have a keywordonline.com is, or keywordonline.de or .uk, is that better to go to keyword.online and drop the .com or the extension or the CCTLD, the country code TLD, and that is a big question, and there are still a lot of people out there that, you know, really like the .com and think of the .com is better than the .tech, .tech website won the Wix SEO contest this year, and it was not a .com. So a guy from France,
yeah,
he used
that.
Links,
spamming and jamming.
Yes, he was using links and did a lot of link building right towards the end in that contest to win the SEO Hero .tech.
Yeah, which is a good reminder that ranking without links is really, really hard, as Gary Ilias says. I'm not sure if you got one of those shirts that we have. We haven't met at a conference in the last month, but you should get one. You will get one. And something, you know, that comes to mind here, of course, is with the .com being on, you know, on the movies, on the web, on the public perception for so many years. I mean, 20 years at least, where the so-called public internet has been around and synonym with the .coms. It's no surprise that these new extensions might even raise eyebrows, like, what is this? Is this actually a website? .bank. Something. Have you heard about that before?
I've been in the past 2 years. I have been 2 to 3 years. Have been all around the world. At ICANN meetings and different conferences and search conferences from, you know, China to Europe and in South America and even Canada. And when you go, you know, .com really is, you know, well known, and there is a bias in the United States. But once you leave the United States, you know, a lot of the internet users are, they don't really care too much about .com. They care a lot about, you know, they are much more open to using, China is very big with .club. And even Europe in London using .london and so forth. So I think that the bias with .com is very, very, has a lot to do, you know, just in the United States, where once you leave the United States, the bias really does not exist as much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. That's interesting feedback. All right. I just see we're at 40 minutes, and I try to keep this short and sweet. So maybe, you know, 1 minute, what is the biggest issue you see large companies have with SEO in general, or marketing, or online marketing in general? Like this one thing that keeps them from, you know, being better than they are. I mean, big companies are good anyways, but, you know, what could they improve or something?
I think the biggest thing that, you know, that I see on a daily basis, I come across companies that, I mean, I did an audit of a major corporation's website, and they did not have any title tags on any of their pages. And I think that there's, you know, a lot of the basic, not really SEO, but, you know, there are SEO best practices, but, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of the web designers and developers, you know, will develop a good product that, that works, mm-hmm. but they will, you know, but they do not know a lot of the basic concepts, from, you know, canonical tags and uh-huh. internal linking, and, you know, navigation, you know, they're still creating a lot of duplicate content on their websites. And so I think that's one of the biggest things that's happening is, you know, from my perspective, I can just come in and say, well, you need to fix, you know, this and this on your site because you're generating, you know, thousands or hundreds of thousands of duplicate content pages. You're not using the canonical tag. You're not, you're not internal linking properly. And it's really down to a lot of the technical SEO, mm-hmm. You know, a lot, and just fixing that, major corporations will have, you know, generally, naturally, they will have some good links, but you know, that's I think still today is the number one thing that a lot of web developers and designers don't know the SEO best practices.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of shocking because it's nothing new. It's been around for ever, like even Google
at least talks about that 10, 20 years.
Yeah, yeah. These are, well, there are some tools around to look at that, but you see that even in your browser with some free plugins. So I'm surprised. Is there no one to look after that in the large companies? Or nobody taking care of? I mean, it can't be a money problem.
No, I think what happened, I mean, overall, I mean, if you look back at, you know, the past 20 years, I think that, or even the past 10 years, that finally, you know, a few years ago, we were getting to a point where the developers that were on staff at web designers, they were, you know, they were finally really starting to understand, you know, a lot of the basic SEO concepts, but a lot of them in the past two or three seems like the past 2 to 3 years, a lot of them have retired, and a lot of them are not, you know, or have moved on to other companies or other, you know, doing something else. Uh-huh. And so we have this new wave of millennials who are, you know, really good web designers and graphic artists and uh-huh. and developers and coders, but they don't understand a lot of the basic concepts.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
I think that is the biggest, one of the biggest problems.
It's a generation issue already in our industry. Oh man, I feel old.
Yes, I know.
Okay, amazing. Yeah, maybe a final tip or takeaway, a golden nugget thing that can get me rich quick or get our listeners get rich quick, something that you can, you know, say in 1, 2, 3 sentences.
Sure. I think that when it comes to domains and links, that I would say that there still are a lot of domain names that expire. There are a lot of good names that trade hands. A lot of people are willing to sell their websites. And so not just building links, but think about websites that have a lot of links that then can, you know, that you can incorporate. You could buy a good domain name and either change to a better name or that into a name that already has links, or there's still a lot of domain names that drop every single day, 20, you know, thousands of domains that drop every day that are still good. So there's still a lot of good link building that you can do by acquiring websites and by acquiring domain names.
Yeah, that's a great close, a great finale. And actually, one of our tools, the Bulk URL Analyzer, the former Juice tool, was built just for that. Was one of the first tools that I had internally for doing just that. You know, screening 10,000 of domains for all these 97 metrics to figure out, you know, not just number of links, but you know, all the comments, the social aspects, and now with you know, even more metrics, and decide, you know, before the end, even the closeout. I'm not sure what they call it differently. You know, those last minutes. Sales where you can sometimes get domains for $8 or $10 that have thousands of links. Today, I would still, of course, recommend and say as a disclaimer, do not buy these without running a link detox, or you know, at least not use them redirected before having done a link detox on that, which worked you know, in the past, but it's the big, big problem now. And then we see that also on a regular basis where people just do that and then forget about, you know, they could possibly inherit a penalty. So that is the big, big, big disclaimer here in 2017. All right. Well, thank you very much, Bill. It was a great, great learnings, and I'm happy to have had you on the show. I look forward to seeing you or talking to you very soon again, maybe in the next episode also of a podcast.
And yes, definitely.
So thank you very much. Thank you so much. And yeah, to all of you listeners, bye-bye. And my name is Christoph Kemper, founder of the Link Research Tools. We had Bill Hartzer out of Texas, the domain expert himself. No, that's not Texas. I said Austin.
Yes.
Ah, it's Texas. Okay. All right, Texas, Austin. Oh, thank you. Yeah. All right, then have a wonderful day. Thank you very much. Bye-bye, everyone.